All right, Alexander, let's see what's going on. Let's talk about what's going on with the U.S. election situation. The mainstream media, the left, the Democrats, Biden, Kamala Harris, they would like us just to forget about the whole thing and just move into a phase which they are branding. I mean, this is the propaganda programming now. They are branding it as, a time to heal type of scenario. I mean, this is pure Soviet Pravda propaganda. I mean, it's clear as day. So now it's all about a time to heal, and we're supposed to forget about the election rigging and the election theft and the ballots being dropped off at 4 in the morning in vans and trucks, and water pipes breaking, and voting just stopping across these four or five battleground states after Fox News calls Arizona. Forget about all of that stuff. Forget about the fact that a man that never left his basement for 9 months and ends up getting the most votes in U.S. election history. Just forget about all of that and let's heal. Let's heal from all the division of Trump, all the orange man bad stuff. And as we're healing, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the New York, I think she's New York Times, Jennifer Rubin, would like us to create Trump accountability lists so we can make sure that anyone who supported Trump is on a list, so we can make sure they never work again. They're never allowed into a supermarket. They can't open a bank account, and they're pretty much placed in an orange man bad gulag. But it's a time to heal, of course. It's a time to heal. So, Alexander,
Well,
what's the latest going on?
I mean, these same people who talk about a time to heal, of course, were not saying these sort of things in 2016, 2017. Instead, we had four years, if we remember, of investigations, of allegations that Donald Trump was a Russian agent, of stories about Cambridge Analytica. Remember all that? The people who were supposed to be harvesting all that data, and who were supposed to have been involved with the Russians in some way. By the way, a unknown and forgotten parenthesis, it's just slipped out, is that the British Data Commissioner looked into all of those allegations about Cambridge Analytica, and they've all been discredited. Anyway, all of that, all that drama, all the melodrama of the Donald Trump years, when, as I said, they were saying all those extraordinary things about him. They were saying, that he was a fascist and all kinds of other things, and they were saying all these awful things about his supporters. All of that, of course, that was in 2016. Now we're in 2020, and we're supposed to forget all that too. Despite the fact, and I really want to stress this, if the United States today is a bitterly divided country, it is they who have made it so. They made allegations about the President of the United States. He's still the President of the United States, by the way. They made allegations that he was a foreign agent. They pursued investigations against him. They put his supporters into prison or convicted them of various offenses, which it's now clear are not true. They're still conducting the investigation against Michael Flynn and refusing to release him, despite the fact that even the Justice Department says he should be released and all the case against him should be thrown out. They're the people who were utterly relentless over all of these 4 years, and they are still relentless, as you rightly said, about, with Ocasio-Cortez coming along with all her lists, and the New York Times coming along with all its lists, and all those allegations being made. And of course, it is not a time for healing. And in relation to the election itself, well, I'm going to say this straightforwardly. There is an election process still underway. There is counting of votes still underway. It looks as if there's going to be a recount in Arizona. It looks as if there's going to be a recount in Georgia. There is, as I said already, a very strong case about Pennsylvania. I'm not predicting any outcome, but by law, Joe Biden is not the president-elect. He can only become the president-elect when the Electoral College votes that he is the president-elect. That hasn't yet happened. It's not due to happen until the 8th of December, may not happen until the 14th of December. I believe that deadline is flexible. There may be all sorts of issues there. There may still be questions about how this election is going. So, you know, all these attempts to try and mobilize us and to tell us, please, you know, let's, this is a time of healing. I interpret those as an attempt, again, to close down the subject of the election, accept the fact that Joe Biden is the president-elect, when by law he is not. And as I said, close down all of this process of review and investigation and vote counting, which is still underway.
Yeah, they're trying the whole narrative right now with this Time to Heal campaign that they're throwing everywhere now is all about trying to get people in and around Trump, whether they're very close to Trump or whether they're, you know, maybe 3 or 4 degrees removed from Trump and all the people that are supporting him and refuse to concede. They're basically trying to say, you know what? Forget about everything that happened. Let's start over again.
Yes.
And let bygones be bygones. That's the message that's the message they want to send out. But everyone should know the minute that these people, if they decide to abandon Trump and if Trump were to concede, the minute that would happen, they are going to go after everybody. I have no doubt about it. They're going to go after Trump. Actually, Cohen has actually said that he's going to go, that they should go after Trump. He said for the crimes he's committed, which Russia, nothing. I mean, just all the fantasies they had in their head for 4 years, working with Russia, bank accounts in China, all these fantasies that they concocted in their heads. But they're going to go after everybody. I'm convinced about it. First and foremost, they'll go after Trump and his family and his business, and they're going to try to ruin him, which is why I think no matter what happens, whether Trump wins Pennsylvania, wins the court case in Pennsylvania, which he has a good chance of winning. I'd say it's a 50-50 coin toss.
I agree with that.
A good chance of winning. If he wins that, then I think he has a very good chance of winning. But whatever happens is going to happen. So whether he is back, whether he wins the Electoral College, or whether they manage to shoehorn Sleepy Joe and Kooky Kamala into the White House, Trump has 2 months where I think he should just go full freaking animal on them. We've said it now for about a week. Pardon Assange, pardon Snowden, pardon Flynn, Roger Stone. You said Paul Manafort. Release all of Russiagate. Release Hillary Clinton emails. Fire Barr. He fired Esper. He fired Mark Esper. Good. Fire Haspel. Fire Fauci. Fire Christopher Wray. Doesn't matter if Biden hires them. If Biden gets to the White House and he hires it again, fire them all, release all the freaking documents on everybody, including anything you have on Epstein and Ghislaine, Huntergate, all of it. That's what I would do.
I totally agree
because
with
they're
going
to go after him.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. By the way, I mean, just to talk about them going after him, the Daily Telegraph in Britain had a rather useful list of all the outstanding cases and claims that they've been making against Donald Trump. And I went through them. And the extraordinary thing about them was that they were completely empty. The biggest one was trying to revive the obstruction case that was floated by Mueller. I mean, that seemed to be the only one. And as I said previously, there is no case of obstruction there. The tax thing is, I mean, you know, that isn't going to go anywhere, in my opinion, because, I mean, that's there really isn't anything there. All of the others, as I said, were just frankly small cases of a kind that businessmen often have to deal with. I don't think there's anything really there at all. But I think what they'll probably try and do, if they want to go after him, is they'll try to revive the obstruction case. But you know, there are lots of risks in doing that, not the least of which is that, of course, Rosenstein who was the assistant attorney general, said that he didn't think there was one. This is separate from Barr. And even Mueller, in the end, couldn't quite bring himself to say that there was one. And I mean, in legal terms, as I said, as I've discussed many times, it's a completely ludicrous one to bring. And it would be a wonderful opportunity for Trump to bring up all the Russiagate issues and the fact that that was all wrong. So I think it's a dangerous case to bring, actually. But, you know, that I just wanted anyway to say that. But in all other respects, I agree. Sack them all, Haspel, Gray, the lot, pardon them all. And, I mean, you know, I do agree Paul Manafort, include Paul Manafort, even though I think he's a swamp creature who undoubtedly is guilty of all kinds of financial malpractice in Ukraine. But that, as the judge in his case said, was not the reason he was prosecuted. He wasn't prosecuted for that reason. He was prosecuted because for a short time he was Donald Trump's campaign manager. So that makes that a political prosecution. And for that reason, if no other, he should be pardoned, because political prosecutions are wrong in Europe under the European Convention of Human Rights. Political prosecutions are illegal when they're politically founded. A court should throw them out, because it is fundamentally contrary to human rights to use the criminal law to pursue someone, to prosecute someone on a political, to suit a political purpose. So I would definitely include Paul Manafort. And of course, I would include Papadopoulos, who is, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest victim of them all in this, him and Michael Flynn. So all of them, you know, pardon them all, because clearly Sullivan is never going to let this thing go. And he's already, by the way, you know, contradicted what he said to the DC Court of Appeals, where he said he would deal with the case in a quick way. He's already dragging his heels about this. So pardon Flynn, pardon Manafort, pardon Papadopoulos, pardon Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone, it now turns out, and this has been barely reported again, the reason he was arrested and charged was that Mueller and Wiseman were trying to put pressure on him to get him to confirm that he had indeed been in touch with WikiLeaks and with Trump, and importantly with the Russians. It was a desperate last attempt to prove collusion, was going after Stone. And then they found that there was actually no evidence and they couldn't really pursue the case against Stone. So they went again on these other, you know, ludicrous other charges. Well, ludicrous other charges, but minor other charges, which were, again, not the real reason he was arrested and prosecuted. So pardon them all. Now, I would be delighted. I would be absolutely overjoyed if he also pardoned Snowden and Assange. I certainly, definitely think he should. I'm afraid to say that I don't think he will. And I don't think he will simply because I don't think he agrees either with Snowden or Assange. But I think he should. And I'm not going to say more about it than that. For the rest, he should sack all of the people. He should sack Haspel, sack Ray. He's already sacked Asper. He should, I think he should sack Barr. Bring in his own people into the all of these positions, people like Rick Grenell, and use that short space of time that he still has to get all the documents, everything published. I mean, there would be uproar, there'd be fury and anger, there'd be protests. But isn't that better in some ways than let this whole narrative of, you know, we got, you know, good times ahead, take hold. And in the meantime, as I said, we'll see what happens with all the cases. The cases are still ongoing. The recounts are happening in Arizona and Georgia. And if Georgia and Arizona change, which is entirely possible, well, then, you know, the whole result is open again.
Yeah, well, if he wins Pennsylvania, and you never know, if it does get to the Supreme Court, there is a Clarence Thomas who is sitting on that court. And it could go his way. I mean, I get very nervous with the system, you know, going in Trump's favor. But the Supreme Court could rule in his favor. It's a possibility. Well, and if that happens, then everything is back in play with Pennsylvania.
Well, can I just say, let's just talk about Pennsylvania, because I think this is an important case to understand. What has happened is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, and there's been a discussion in the Federalist that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania is a very partisan court. Pennsylvania being a state which has been run by the Democratic Party for a very long time. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania changed the electoral law of Pennsylvania to allow late ballots, late mail-in ballots. Now, that law is written in a form which appears to suggest that if any part of it is amended, then none of it is valid anymore. I mean, I'm not, you know, saying this is correct or wrong. I'm simply saying that's how it seems to read. And the Constitution of the United States says very clearly that the bodies that are the only bodies that are empowered to change electoral laws in the states are the House of Representatives of those states. So it looks as if the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania wildly exceeded its powers and went against the federal constitution. Now, given that that is so, and I think this is, you know, this isn't what I'm saying is not very disputed. I mean, I think even people who are defending this decision and defending the vote count in Pennsylvania agree that there is a big legal issue here. I think that given that that is so, one doesn't really need to worry about individual justices in the Supreme Court. One doesn't need to speculate about Clarence Thomas or Gorsuch or, you know, Kavanaugh or all the rest. One simply looks at what the law says. And the argument that I understand is being made in defense is not that, you know, the law was not changed and that it was not changed in an irregular way, but that the change of the law probably didn't make any difference because there's no reason to suspect that there was any big fraud or any big change and that, you know, changing this thing isn't really going to make any difference to the vote count at the end of the day. Now, that, it seems to me, is a circular argument. You're saying that, you know, you wait and, you know, how can you say for sure that the change in the electoral law made no difference when changing the electoral law is presumably intended to make a difference? As I say, it's a circular argument. It doesn't look to me like a convincing defense. So I would have thought that it's a fairly strong case. When I say a fairly strong case, I would put the result higher, the chances higher than 50-50. I would put them significantly higher than that. What I'm not so sure, and really this is the other side of it, I am not so sure that if the Supreme Court decides to overturn this decision and it goes back to Pennsylvania, then many of the same problems in Pennsylvania won't repeat themselves and we'll have a different outcome at the end of this process than we would before. But, you know, we deal with one problem at a time. I would have thought that at the moment, the case before the Supreme Court about Pennsylvania is a strong one.
Yeah, I would like nothing more than to see Clarence Thomas. Biden. But anyway, I think that Trump is probably at his most dangerous right now. And people who are in the streets celebrating, and the Democrats and the Pelosi's and the AOC's and the Schumer's, I think they haven't realized that Trump actually, I think he has a lot of leverage right now. I really do. And I say that because, you know, right now we're seeing the swamp reconfigure itself, and they're going to, you know, put up the defenses, and they're going to say, we're never going to let another Trump happen. Yes. And they're going to start, you know, reconfiguring the model again.
Yes.
But I think Trump has an opportunity right now to create a whole new system. And what I mean by that is he could create a whole new media system. He can create a whole new big tech system. Mm. All it takes for Trump to demolish Twitter, for example, is to just go to Parler. We've already seen that Parler today was the most downloaded app on the app stores. Parler should get off of the app stores as well. They need to create a web progressive application because the app stores are also owned by the same people that rigged the election against Trump as well. So Parler has to also take its precautions. Look at what Gab did. Parler needs to follow that model. But anyway, Trump can really be the spark that ignites this 70 million strong voter base that he has, and God knows how many people around the world.
Yes.
To remake the system the way they want it done and to not have to deal with the censorship and the shadow banning and the demonetization and everything else that they do. The media, the TV stations, you know, now you have Newsmax, which is just crushing it because everyone left Fox. I mean, this is a big opportunity here.
Absolutely.
Even if Trump keeps the White House, it's a big opportunity that we have in front of us. And I don't think any of the Dems and the liberals and the oligarchs have realized it. Jack Dorsey, I hope Jack Dorsey has invested his money wisely.
Yeah, I agree, because to be honest, that's fundamentally his weak. That was his greatest problem in the election. And it's still his greatest problem, which is that the other side to him controls the information space. I mean, they have right through his presidency. They have right through his entire political career, short as it's been. I mean, the tech companies, the social media giants, the big media, they've all been utterly united against him. And I think it's turned out also that Fox was not, in the end, a reliable friend. I mean, you know, it turned on him in a way that was, you know, he must feel very angry about. So, yes, I agree. I think people are very angry. I think people have seen the mask drop. I've seen this. I think they've seen the way Dorsey and Twitter have behaved. I think you're quite right also that it's Trump. Actually, Trump has built Twitter. I think without Trump over the last 5 years, Twitter would not be the force it is now. I mean, it's because of Trump that, you know, Twitter, which you, as you write, always told me was the smallest of the tech giants. I mean, they relied on him. If he now pulls out and an alternative is set up, you can very, very easily say that you can very easily see how Twitter could suddenly start looking very much like, you know, the IBM. And this is the discussion, by the way, we've had before, which is that these big tech companies have now become so big that they're beginning to look a little bit like those big lumbering dinosaurs. Maybe dinosaurs weren't so lumbering, but, you know, these big giant companies that we've seen in the past, like IBM, which are not really very nimble and which are losing touch with the market that ultimately created them and sustains them. That's what always happens, by the way, when companies become monopolies or operate as monopolies. They lose contact with their market. They lose contact with their customer base. And then a whole new set of aggressive new competitors comes in and they suddenly collapse, like they implode, because they don't really know how to respond to that. So that's the future of the tech companies. It could be the future of big media also. Again, we tend to forget that before Trump, all the big media companies, you know, all the big newspapers, all the big channels, were in serious trouble. They used Trump in a way to ride back into, you know, sort of prominence, you know, the sort of melodrama that was created around Trump very, very pitilessly and cruelly, in a way boosted them. But, you know, if he takes himself out of that and starts to build something else, and he's the big player, he's the person to do it. If he gives all these other things the critical mass of his personality, then again, they will start to look in great difficulty. What if he joins and starts his own TV show, for example?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the mainstream media created this unholy alliance with big tech as well. Mm. In that, during the Trump presidency, we can't forget that before YouTube, for example, started to prop up Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, and yes, they do prop up Fox News on YouTube. It was other channels like ours that were getting the views and the recommendations. But then they created this alliance somewhere around at the end of year one of Trump's presidency, year one, year two, where they said, independent content creators, we're not going to recommend them anymore, and we're going to prop up the mainstream media. So they created this wall. They created this system.
Yes.
But what Trump can do is he can pick up his ball from the pitch, from the field, because the rules are completely stacked against him. Yes. And he can go to a new field, assemble a new team, and they can start playing again. Absolutely. And that's, I think, the opportunity that we have in front of us. Yes. Once again, I'll preface it, whether he's president or not, he can do this. And that should be what he does, whether he's president or not. He should just pick up his stuff, go to a new field, and that's it. And just start building the system. Let the swamp reconfigure.
Yeah.
And Trump should lead some sort of movement along with, of course, other people. You'll have the CEOs of Parlors and of BitChutes and of Odysseys and the content creators, the Tim Pools and the Officer Tatums and the Turleys and Steven Crowders and all these guys who are huge, and us who are huge, and do things the way we want.
Agreed. I quite agree. I completely agree. Can I also quickly add to all of this that, of course, if we open up the media space in the way that you're saying, that will, of course, change politics in America, and it will change the business environment in America, because though it is correct that Joe Biden says, the figures say that he's won more votes than every other candidate in US history, so has Donald Trump. Donald Trump has won 71 million votes. He's won more than Barack Obama did. He has won the largest number of votes of any candidate in US history, apart, we are told, from Joe Biden. So, he's got a huge body of people out there, huge body of people who are obviously not believing what the media is telling them, not happy with the restrictions that they're facing when they go to social media and all the rest. So, and who are obviously getting their news from somewhere, from some source. So, there is this vast number, tens upon tens of millions of people. Donald Trump has increased his vote as compared to 2016 by almost 9 million. This is a fact that I think people, need to remember. This is a massive, huge number of people. It's not as if his vote has fallen. People say, that Joe Biden didn't achieve a landslide. He didn't achieve a landslide because, despite everything, Donald Trump's vote has hugely grown. It's enormously increased.
Yeah, well, look, when you compare the two camps, Trump's camp has better ideas. They're more energized. Yeah. The people are real. Biden's people are not real. Yeah. They're not energized. When I mean they're not real, I mean a lot of these people are not real. I mean they're coming out of the grave to vote. and I'm not exaggerating.
No, there have already been some reported cases that say that, apparently.
A lot. Including boxer Joe Frazier.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I missed that one.
Yeah, and... if you're looking in the media space,
who was a Republican, I seem to remember.
But yes, anyway, interesting. Sorry, but well, maybe in the afterlife he changed.
He's converted. Yes, he's discovered his Biden self.
Yeah, yeah. even in the media space, the Trump side, for lack of a better word, I'll use side, the Trump camp, the Trump side, the Trump movement. They have, in a way, the truth, because the news that they're giving out, and the people that I mentioned beforehand, they're trying to give out accurate, real news. Yeah. Is it more on a conservative or libertarian tilt? Yeah, that's fine. You know, these are opinion, reporters, journalists, hosts, content creators. But nonetheless, these are people that do, try to give people the truth.
Absolutely.
On the other side, you have complete fiction. Iraq, WMDs and Syria chemical weapons and Libya and Russiagate and all these things, just complete fiction. Even today, Alexander, and I'll mention it today, you had the news of this Pfizer vaccine. Yeah. And the first thing that came to my mind is I'm done with all this fake news, because you're gonna tell me that 1 week after the election, you find this vaccine, which is 90%. I'm not saying the vaccine is real or fake. I'm saying the announcement of the vaccine is fake.
Yes.
I'm positive they held on to it until, the election.
I agree, because as I said, they didn't want to roll it out whilst Donald Trump was still in contention, because the big thing that was used against Donald Trump during the election was that he had mishandled supposedly the pandemic and that there was no solution to it. And, Joe Biden was going to provide the solution. So they didn't want to give people the idea that, maybe, just possibly, that problem is, about to go away. As, by the way, I have always been saying it will, but that's another story.
The fact that Pfizer came out with this, I think, is also a part of the fact that Trump went after the pharmaceuticals in the U.S. as far as prices were concerned. So I don't think they had any love for Trump, because at the end of the day, once again, contrary to all the people on the street that are saying authoritarian and dictator, Trump was the only president that also stood up to Big Pharma in the United States, in that he was saying, we need to lower the price of drugs and medicine. I mean, that was actually a big part of his campaign.
I remember that very well. And I mean, he actually said that at various stages in his presidency. And can I just make a point? I mean, it's, again, as I said, very rich for people who, are all out about shadow banning, suppressing, closing down people here, left, right and center, to come along and, call Donald Trump an authoritarian, when the authoritarians, by every definition, have been themselves. I have not called for anybody to be placed under surveillance or to be subjected to Pfizer warrants or to be driven off any or social media. On the contrary, I believe everybody should be out there. I believe everybody should have an opportunity to say what they think and to do so in an equal playing field. That's what I think. And, that, it seems to me, is not what the other side, if I can put it like that, have been doing. They have been the people who are, have been behaving in an authoritarian way. So, I don't like this nonsense about Donald Trump being an authoritarian. I don't believe 71 million Americans believe he's an authoritarian. And I don't believe 71 million Americans would have voted for him if they thought he was one. I think that the United States is a country deeply attached to its democratic traditions. And I think those 71 million people who voted for Donald Trump did so for completely, valid reasons, because they saw him as an opponent of a system which has gained power in Washington and which has become inimical in many ways to the traditions of the United States.
All right. We'll leave it there. And we're going to be watching Pennsylvania, of course. I think that is the big key to all of this turning around in Arizona.
Pennsylvania is the key, and Arizona is, because of course 2%. It's where it exactly. Well, but your point about Arizona is where it all started, in a sense. I mean, if Arizona, it turns out, ended up voting for Trump instead of Biden, then, you know, all those media companies which called it for Trump, for Biden so early, well, they will have, well, rather they should have lots of explaining to do.
Yeah, we're going to be monitoring it. And like we said in this video, I think that, you know, after you step back from everything that's happened the last week, I think Trump is in a very, very good position, if you want.
Not as far as
the election. I'm saying in general, he is in a very strong position.
He's in an extremely strong position. By the way, if you go to the media here in Britain, which is 100% hostile to Trump, they're saying that. They may not be saying that in the US, but they've absolutely they realize that in Britain. The British, who had been led to expect a Biden landslide accompanied by a blue wave, are in shock. Yeah. And by the way, the other people who sense this, and I get to say this, are the AOC left in the Democratic Party. They are furious. And the other thing to bear in mind is that the Democratic Party is cracking. There are now huge quarrels. If you go onto AOC's Twitter feed, which is quite interesting sometimes, I mean, she is fighting the DNC furiously, because she feels that they're trying to blame her for the fact that they've already had 8 net losses in the House of Representatives. So,
well, they are blaming her.
Well, they are blaming her, exactly. Blaming her. But I mean, she's hitting back. There's a very interesting article by Naomi Klein in The Guardian today, you know, hitting back at the DNC. All of this is coming out now. So, you know, there's lots going on. So the Democrats don't look in terribly good shape. They've got a weak president, possibly a president in name only. They have an unpopular vice president. And, you know, it looks as if, I mean, I've looked at the figures. I mean, it seems to me very difficult to see the Republicans losing the Senate despite these Georgia races. I can't really see how these two races in Georgia could end up otherwise than with Republican wins.
No, but not only that, I agree. At the very minimum, I think you'll have a split 1-1. At the very minimum, the Republicans may take both of those seats, but at the minimum, you'll have a 1-1 and the Republicans will be safe. But just the final word is that even if things don't work out for Trump as far as the election goes, the Republicans, especially the rhinos, should not get any smart ideas with regards to Trump, because once again, Trump is in a position where I think he could continue to lead and have a hold of the Republican voter base, or the MAGA. I don't even want to say the Republican voter base, because it's not even a Republican voter base. It's a MAGA voter base.
Yeah, I know.
Trump is going to continue to lead that voter base, and that voter base can easily tell the Republicans, you guys are screwing around, we're out of here. Or he can mobilize them to lift the Republican Party up so they can take the House in 2022. So they shouldn't get any smart ideas with regards to Trump either.
Well, Donald Trump has won more votes than any other Republican candidate for the presidency in history. Those 71 million people who voted for Donald Trump voted for Donald Trump. They didn't vote for Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment. And I think that needs to be very clearly understood by everybody. And if Joe Biden is the first Democrat to become president with a hostile Republican-controlled Senate since, I believe, Andrew Jackson, some people say Grover Cleveland, in other words, since the 19th century, every other incoming Democrat president has had the Senate on his side, has had a majority of the Senate. If this has not happened, if this doesn't happen on this occasion, again, this is not for any other reason than because 71 million people came out and voted for Donald Trump. So the Republicans need to understand that what you call the MAGA vote is their base now. They can't just walk away from it. And interestingly enough, I mean, a couple of days ago, just before, just over the weekend, I was reading all these reports. They were even starting to spread into the British media, particularly the Murdoch-controlled British media, incidentally, about all sorts of, you know, Republican worthies coming along to Trump to tell him to concede. Supposedly, even Jared Kushner was being brought in to do it. And I've noticed that over the last couple of hours, all that's receded. So maybe somebody within the Republican Party has actually taken a step back, look at the figures, listened to what the base is telling them, because, of course, there'll be people who will be emailing their congressmen, emailing their senators, making their feelings very, very clear. And it may be that, you know, as I said, the Republicans have now understood that.
No, yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, mm-hmm. Trump has been a little bit quiet, but I think he's tweeting. But in general, he's been a little bit on the down low. But I think you're going to get rallies. I think you're going to I've read that you're going to have a million MAGA march on Saturday, I believe, in the United States. So I think it's the quiet before the storm.
I agree. Yeah. Well, let's hope it's and let's just say again, a quiet before the storm, but so that nobody puts words into our mouths, a peaceful storm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just an expression.
I know, but just because I've noticed that there's some people seize onto words that are used. This is a political storm, but that's all it is. That's what it is.
A quiet before the political storm. And the media storm.
And the media storm.
If Trump does what he should do and gets all his ducks in a row and solidifies the base under some sort of common media tech umbrella. That would be powerful.
It would be extremely powerful. Can I just also say, and this is my last comment for today, as a point of amusement, if at the end of this process, you know, all these legal challenges are successful in Pennsylvania and the recounts in Arizona and Georgia change the outcome there, and Donald Trump is inaugurated president on the 20th of January, what do all these world leaders, who have congratulated President-elect Biden, who is, as I said, not actually legally president-elect, what do they say? I noticed, by the way, that more and more countries are refusing to do that. Russia, China,
Mexico,
exactly. They're refusing to do it. So, I mean, they're saying, you know, we've got to see the conclusion of this process before that happens. But as I said, all those other people who went ahead, and the latest, by the way, being the president of Azerbaijan. Let's see what they have to say when, as I said, if the result is different. I mean, it'll be quite amusing to watch the explanations they come up with.
They'll come up with something because they're spineless.
Well, of course they will. Well, of course they will. Yeah. But anyway,
have no shame.
It'll be interesting to see. It'll also be interesting to see what all those German commentators, who include the German foreign minister and the German person who has been heading the OSCE, will say. They've been saying up to now, you know, that this has been an absolutely faultless election, and it's outrageous, completely outrageous to suggest otherwise. So I'll be interested to see what they have to say too.
Let's hope it comes to that.
It would be funny, let me put it like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It'd be good for a few laughs.
All right, let's leave it there. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much, guys. Go to Patreon, PayPal, Subscribestar. Help us on those platforms. So if you donate to us, that really helps us out a lot. Subscribe to this channel. Make sure you're still subscribed to this channel as well, because we're noticing that YouTube has started to unsubscribe people again. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the post-election strategy now that they've formulated. Maybe unsubscribe people. I don't know. I don't know why they do it, but they do it. So check your subscription. Make sure you're still connected to this channel. And of course, go to us on BitChute and Odyssey. Mm. Look for us there. We have channels there. The BitChute channel is actually 7,000 strong. Guys, just sign up to BitChute and let's get it to 10K. And, you know, you'll always be connected to us because all our videos always go out on BitChute and Odyssey as well. Also go to Odyssey. It has a really, really nice interface, good design, good comment system. So check us out there. You'll find the links in the description box down below. The Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise, and Patriotic Legacy, the contest.
Yeah,
These flashlights right here, the black
these
ones.
The flashlights.
You'll 20% off if you use the code Duran20. And in the contest, you also get a Duran t-shirt as well, which has our logo right across the chest. So you'll find all of that in the description box down below.
Can I just say, best flashlight in the world, made by our friends, Patriotic Legacy, in the United States, but it ships everywhere. It ships all over the world. Yes, you can see it. You can see it there. The Patriot. Patriotic, that's right. And it ships all over the world. It's the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. It's absolutely beautifully made, and it's incredibly strong, and it gives you tremendous confidence when you have it. And if you come to our channel also, to our shop rather, also, you find all the great products that we have there on amazing mugs, this one with the flag of the US, but you can find mugs with many flags. This is the United Kingdom. This is Greece. And you also have our amazing shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve, polo neck. We have hoodies, we have hats, we have lots of great things in our shop, and you support our channel by coming to it. So do all the things that Alex said, get yourself a Patriot Beacon 3, and come to our shop and come to our next broadcast.
All right, you'll find all the links in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.